So good morning to you all. Thanks for coming along. And we're delighted to be here this morning in Warren Mount Presentation Secondary School. And we've had a warm welcome, obviously, from some of the senior students and from Miss Gwen Brennan, the principal of the school. And Gwen will speak to us in a few minutes just to give you a context of the school that we're in. Today we're launching what is for us in the Catholic Schools Partnership and in the Catholic education sector in general, what we look upon as a very important document. It's not the easiest accessible document from a media point of view, but I'll draw to the representatives of media just now the more salient points maybe for today from a media perspective. But it's a document really that's looking to the longer, to the medium and longer term, and a key part of its intention is to foster conversation within the Catholic sector, and I explain to what we mean by that now as we go along. Just to introduce you to it, to the background to it, for the last few years, three key bodies in Catholic second level education, that's the Catholic Schools Partnership, the JMB, that's the Association of Management of Catholic Secondary Schools, are represented by their General Secretary, Ferdia Kelly, who we know to many of you is here today, and the Association of Trustees of Catholic Schools. We've been working together to try and come up with a plan, a strategic understanding of the future of Catholic voluntary schools, not least in terms of their relationship between themselves, their relationship with the state, and the implications for the future in terms of the way that they're structured. And as we did so, a key element in our work over the last couple of years, and we have put a lot of work into this document, it's not a lot of different drafts. We've had consultation processes around the country. We had regional assemblies in four areas. We brought 100 schools, the representatives of 100 schools together to test out what we were saying, in a sense, to pilot it with them and see how they responded. And this document today now is the fruit of all that labour. And I suppose one key element in it, an absolutely central point in it from our point of view, is to try and rediscover the significance of what it is to be a voluntary body. The whole voluntary matters as we've begun to reflect on it. In Irish educational language discourse generally, as you know, we're inclined to use, quite understandably, the terms state and private. We tend to talk about state schools and private schools. But as we look particularly at the history of our second level system and the current reality on the ground, I think we discover that the language of private and public, the language of state and private, whatever language you want to use, is unsatisfactory. It doesn't get into the heart of the thing. In fact, it's better to talk about voluntary schools, state schools, and some schools that are a partnership between the voluntary and the state. And we're quite proud of our diagram. If you open the booklet for a moment, on pages 12 and 13, I think the diagram is a fairly good representation, and we worked on that a good bit over the last couple of years to try and get a clear picture, because as you know, the Irish second level system is very complex. But I think that diagram gives a fair understanding of where we're at in terms of the structure of second level education. Okay, and one point we'd like to make about not just the diagram but the reality on the ground is that the whole thing is built on partnership, and we want a partnership structure into the future. This is not about setting one sector over against another. It's nothing of the sort. It's more about how the partnership will work well for the benefit of the pupils and parents who send their children to the schools, to all of our second level schools, into the future. In the voluntary sector, just to have the figures clear, I suppose, there's 52%, in other words, just over 50% of all schools are voluntary secondary schools. About 58% of pupils nationally attend those schools. So it's a hugely important sector in and of itself. And what we want to promote from today onwards is careful reflection on how that sector is structured, how it's governed, that it's fit for purpose for 2014 and indeed for 2020 and 2030, that as we look ahead, that the whole sector is fit for purpose. We also have concerns about its funding, but that's only one aspect of several other aspects that we're drawing attention to today. The most important thing of all, in the sense that we've discovered as we reflected on the voluntary sector, is the importance of the founding intention of the schools. I've been surprised by this myself. When you look at voluntary bodies generally, if you even leave schools aside for a minute, the voluntary sector in society in general is hugely important. Think of the GAA, St. Vincent de Paul. Think of a parents' association for, you know, children who happen to suffer from a particular illness, who come together to work together for the benefit of their children and to try and raise awareness and so on. Voluntary bodies are the absolute heartbeat of a society. They're the real heartbeat of the civil side of society. And they'll only work if they work well with the state. You should never understand, I think, voluntary bodies as set up against the state. They're anything but. we're all citizens of the state. The state is ours. We are the state in a very real sense. And nobody should try and set the voluntary sector over against the state sector. But within the whole structure of our common citizenship, the voluntary matters and voluntary bodies are a vibrant part of what the society is all about. And we want voluntary secondary schools, part of what we're calling them through this document, is to rediscover their own founding intention. And by that we don't mean that Warren Mount Secondary School here, with its rich presentation tradition, that has to go back and try and act as if it was 100 years ago. It's nothing of the sort. The intention is that we reimagine the origins of these schools, the founding intention, and we speak of it in a language that people understand today, and we call the whole school community to try and live out what it is that the spirit of the ethos, the characteristic spirit of Warren Mount Presentation School and the other 344 or so Catholic voluntary schools throughout the country. So I want to emphasise that point to you, that the voluntary matters, and that we want to reimagine what the voluntary actually means and to be a part of a partnership in looking at that into the future. Part of what we intend to do as a result of this, if you turn maybe from the media point of view to the end of the document to look into the future, there are six steps that we intend to take in light of the issues that arose in our reflection of this. It's on page 34. And really these six steps on page 34 are now, from today onwards, the most important aspect of what we intend to do. Number one is that we do intend over the next few months to provide voluntary secondary schools with a process to facilitate them in reflecting on their ethos through reimagining their founding intention. And we've done some work on that process, and we hope to launch it at the forthcoming AGM of the JMB of AMCSS, of Ferdia's organisation, come next May, that all the work will be done on that, and that that will help schools to reflect on their founding intention. In regard then to number three and four, they're looking to the future. There we are talking about the need, particularly under number three, for voluntary schools to face up to the realities in which they find themselves. A significant number of schools in all sectors face curricular and financial difficulties. And we call today on all Catholic schools to take responsibility for the whole Catholic sector. In other words, people are not just taking care of themselves. Individual schools obviously are individual, but they're all part of various networks now. And we think in looking to the future that schools will need to work together, not least voluntary schools, particularly where they're under curricular and financial difficulties. By curricular, I mean that it might be hard, given numbers, to actually deliver the full curriculum that the school would like to do. And obviously there are financial issues that all schools face, not least in terms of the economic difficulties that we've been through. And then also on page 34, under number five, the relationship of the voluntary sector with the state needs to be clarified and to be restructured, I think. And I think the state would welcome a conversation concerning the structures of the voluntary sector. The voluntary sector is so critical to the whole future of Irish education that everyone accepts, I think, that it's very important that it be fit for purpose, and that we want to do that in cooperation with the state. One of the issues that does arise there, in fairness, and does need to be emphasised, is the issue of funding, particularly of trusteeship. You'll be aware of the ESRI report, and the document here refers to it, particularly in the Appendix C at the end. The ESRI report, I think, demonstrated last year rather exhaustively, mainly by doing careful research with principals and chairpersons of boards of management, that voluntary secondary schools are in a serious predicament financially. And their serious predicament is that some of their day-to-day funding, some of their day-to-day, sorry, costs, are having to be covered by fundraising and by parental contribution. And they can't help but do that. They have no alternative. The thing I always say to people about fundraising is people fundraise because they have to, not because they want to. Nobody within their sanity wants to be a fundraiser. I think if you have to stand out for anybody, for any organisation, it's the most difficult thing in the world to be a fundraiser. Nobody wants to fundraise. People fundraise because they have to. Our schools are fundraising, and they find themselves having to do so because their day-to-day costs are not covered, particularly things like secretarial issues. The provision of secretarial services in the school became clear in the ESRI report, and also issues like insurance and security and so on. And these are the bread and butter of schools, remember. And one of our concerns is that the amount of money that would take to solve this problem is actually not very great. but it would release a lot of energy within schools. I remember a few years ago, I never saw people in primary school so relieved as when the summer works program was reinstated, even though that cost very little money. You can actually see the relief from people's faces. So there's a real situation that we face at the moment, that the very best of our school leaders are devoting too much time to an issue that should not be the top of their agenda, which is the immediate financial viability of their schools. We want our good principals, our good middle management, the leaders on boards and everywhere else. Anyone who's committed to the education system wants them devoting most of their energy and time to curriculum, to reimagining the curriculum, to engaging the pupils in class, to serving the communities that they're in. And that's where we'd like to see them devote their energy. This is not a criticism of the state. By any means, we are the state, we are the citizens, we know we're in a financial difficulty nationally and we have to work our way through that bit by bit. But the amount of money we're talking about to move schools from a crisis point to a point where they could operate in a manner that was at least took some of the pressure off them would not be very great. And therefore, I think we would appeal to the Department of Education and Skills, if at all possible, to look at the question of funding. And that includes the question of funding of the trusteeship function. Trustees have important responsibilities in schools, as they have in all voluntary bodies. Remember, a trustee is not the word that best interprets trustee is not owner. If I own my own private property at home, my house, I can do it really as I wish. I can sell it. I could rent it. I could give it to my children. You know, and you do whatever you do with your own private property. But people who hold something in trust are not really just private property owners. They are in law, but there's something much more important than that. They hold whatever it is they have in trust, and they have a responsibility to people who have gone before them, who are long since dead, and to people who are not even yet born. They hold a reality and trust, in this case an educational reality, that they have moral and legal responsibilities to hand on in a way that's relevant to the next generation. And therefore, trustees, I think we do need to understand that they need some level of funding if they're to carry out that trust work in a way that's fit for purpose for the society in which we live today. And finally then, number 6 on page 34, the booklet is very clear that a key part of Irish education has been partnership already over the last 30 years between state bodies, particularly VECs, now ETBs, and voluntary bodies. And of course, the best expression of that has been in community schools and designated community colleges, where there's a joint trusteeship model. And that does show that the state and the voluntary sector can work very well together. And there may be other examples of where that should be developed into the future. So those are the basic points of the document. I suppose to summarise it from a media point of view, just to put it very briefly, one is the document intends to create a serious conversation within the Catholic sector about the nature of the voluntary, about co-responsibility for the future of the voluntary sector. There are 344 Catholic voluntary schools. We believe that all of them ultimately have a responsibility for each other, and not least those of them that are in the more difficult situations in terms of the communities that they serve and in terms of socioeconomic realities need support and need to be helped on into the future. Secondly, we want to emphasise the distinct contribution that the voluntary makes to all aspects of life in a society. A society without the voluntary sector would be a society that's deeply impoverished in comparison to what it could be. And in fairness, Irish life has a lot of voluntary dimension to it, and we would like to emphasise the aspect of that that's linked to schooling as well. And thirdly and lastly, we want to emphasise the point of partnership, not least partnership with the state, in making sure that the Irish voluntary secondary school sector has governance structures that are fit for purpose in looking to the future, and that has adequate funding to carry out the leadership role that it has in terms of Irish education. So that's the document. I'll answer your questions now in a few moments. Just before that, I was just going to ask Ms. Gwen Brennan, who's the principal of Warren Mount Presentation Secondary School, to say a few words to us about this particular school, because in a sense, as you know, and those who are education correspondents particularly know this very well, what really matters in education are the schools on the ground. There can be a lot of talk, but what goes on in here every day in all the other schools is what matters most of all. And I'd like Gwen just to tell us a little bit about the school that we're present in here today. So I invite Gwen to say it.